So, entonces, guapamascus es netziga son, nejio escuel nia, un excapone cutinia. I don't speak very much Cree, but the little bit that I do speak and what I'm learning, I try to speak it when I can. Because for those that do speak the language fluently, there's a spiritual connection held in the language that has direct connection to the land. And even in that short sentence that I said, my Cree name, which is Little White Bear, I belong to the Bear Clan, and I'm from the Sadaleh Cree Nation. Those three elements in that short phrase connect me directly to the land where my people are from, which is maybe 2 hours northeast of here, about that, yeah. I feel really honored and humbled that I've been invited to speak to you here today. I am an educator as well, and my job, I'm very connected to the work that I do in the sense that I don't take the teaching that I do as just a job. When I walk into a classroom, I hope that the words that I share transform the minds of people so that we walk in the world gently and we take something from what we share amongst each other and we go out there and we do good things. And that's part of an indigenous worldview of how we interact with and see the world. So, and part of the way that I teach in my classes is by sharing, because Indigenous education isn't just somebody standing at the front of the room and giving a lecture. It's a reciprocal learning exchange. So I like to share a little bit of what information I'm presenting, and then we do like a talking circle. So I just want to thank you for sharing who you are, where you come from, what your connection is. When I listen to everybody talk, everything that you said is very much how Indigenous peoples understand and connect ourselves to our worldview. And what I'm going to share with you in my presentation about I Don't Know More and some of the historic policies and government agendas, I would suggest that what has happened is there's somehow been intentional or not, I would say intentional, these policies have disconnected our peoples to be us and them. And that's not what the original intention was when European non-Indigenous peoples came to this land, and what my ancestors understood that relationship to be. And I think what I Don't Know More has done and continues to do is to break down those barriers, those artificial barriers that have been constructed for us to be separated. And I want to encourage you to ask questions. There's no stupid question. I'll be the first to admit that much of what I learned and what I'm going to present to you, a lot of it I didn't learn in books. I learned from the elders, from the people that live off the land. But also, what you're taught in school, not just primary, secondary, but even in some university classes, you're not taught the full extent of a history of Indigenous peoples told by us. It's been predominantly told for us, and I don't say that to be disrespectful, but that's just the reality of what the situation is. And as I go across the land and I do these teachings and I share information and the history of what's happened and the impact of colonization, it's very apparent to me that there's a real need for more people to understand this. And if what I share with you, you take away and you tell one person or two people, that's doing something to transform the minds of not just yourselves, but those that you come in contact with. So I just want to thank you, and then I'll get into my presentation here. So while he figures out the internet situation, I just want to start by talking about prophecies and how I Don't Know More is very much a part of prophecies that have been told to my people, to elders that I work closely with for years, since the 70s. So when this came about, I didn't realize it at the time, but I realize it now, that it's very much a part of the prophecies that have been foretold years ago. And I'll just share one with you, and that's, I was out on the land with Sylvia McAdam, who you'll meet at the conference in November, and her dad is a very traditional elder. He never went to residential school. He still is very much connected to the land, and he's one of the few elders that still have ceremonies that not many of our old people have. And so when I was out on the land with her one day, we were doing a walk on her family's territory as a message to bring attention to the logging that's taking place and to give the message that her people, her family, don't consent to the activities that are taking place on the land. Her dad wanted to share prophecies with us so that we understood what was happening is something more and bigger than what we're seeing or hearing possibly in the media. And one of the stories or prophecies that he told that really stood out for me was he was talking about as a younger man, he was learning the ways of our people, the old ways of our people, and in that course of learning, we're always out on the land. And that's where our education takes place. It's not inside. It's not sitting in a classroom. It's not having books. It's sitting outside and listening and hearing stories and teachings. And so when he was being told what was going to come in the future, our people have that gift of seeing into the future. And it's not, like, some people don't understand that, but it's very much true. And one of the things that he was told was the elders at that time said, you're going to experience some hard times. And one of those hard times will come when the water starts to be on fire. And at the time when he said that, it really, I'm like, how is the water going to be on fire? And I kid you not, like 2 weeks later, I had invited Jessica Ernst to come to the college that I work at. And it was the first time that I had ever heard her talk. And for those of you that don't know who she is, I encourage you to Google her and look up her story, look up the court case that she's involved in right now. She's suing Encana and one of the Alberta energy regulators for fracking that's taking place on her land. And when she was sharing her story of how this whole lawsuit and case came to be, she said there was a time when she was doing dishes and the water was so contaminated with chemicals. She could light a match under that water and it would like go up in flames. And so when I thought back to what the what that elder said, I was like, man, we're in that time right now. And there's other prophecies, and I won't get into that because I don't have the permission to speak about that. But they're coming to light, and this movement is a part of what that is. And I only realized that after, when I started to learn and hear some of these prophecies. And I don't say that to scare you, because we're also at a crossroads where we have that ability to choose our own destiny, what we want that to be. We can either choose the path of is down destruction, or we come together as people, all peoples, and we work together for a better situation in society. So that's what's happening, and I see the movement that I'm going to share with you very much a part of that. And I want to share this video because it also speaks to what has been called that eighth fire spark, or the seventh generation, and this has also been prophesied. Another part of this has been where the women will rise and we'll take back our place in our circles, because historically it was the women that held our lodges or our governance structure together. But because of the imposition of foreign policies and laws on our system of governance, that sacredness and the strength and the power of the women have been taken out of that. And that's the imbalance that you see. And women, what I've been taught is that we are the landowners. Not in the sense of the Western notion of owning land, but in the sense of making sure that there's a sacred balance and connection to that, and the responsibility to ensure that things are in balance there. So with the imposition of foreign policies and laws, that balance that existed prior to colonization and contact has been disrupted. And so when you look at all of the organizers of Idle No More, a majority of them are women. A majority of them. So I'll leave it at that, and we'll watch this video, and then I'll get into the presentation.